This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And today we are going back to August 28th, 1989, SummerSlam. So this is our, third SummerSlam now?
Second.
Well, just our...
Yeah, SummerSlam was the last one we watched
out of all the big four. So we've done two SummerSlam. I'm starting to lose track. We have done so many shows. I'm starting to lose track.
I believe we're at 16. This will be our 16th episode, if I'm not mistaken.
So we are like professionals at doing this now.
Yes. Yes, we are.
So we're awesome. The listeners that listen to us, you're awesome. And we looked at our listenership and we're super happy with what's going on. We've had a spike in listeners lately. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Hopefully you continue to listen. Hopefully you like what we're bringing to the table. And we definitely can't wait. We've just got this show and a Survivor Series show in 1989. And then we are in where we have been excited to get to. And that's where we basically grew up and was watching. We're into the 90s.
We're going to the grunge era.
So I can't wait. Definitely when we get to the mid-90s, we start getting to the Attitude Era. We start getting to some of the guys that we just grew up idolizing. Not that we didn't idolize any of these other guys, but, I mean, that's really kind of the wrestling we're just waiting to get to, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Really excited. We're going to be getting, 90s. Well, I guess we didn't really watch a lot in the early 90s.
That's when we started watching. We were just so young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just hard to remember some of this stuff. You remember idolizing Ultimate Warrior. I was a Hogan fan at the time growing up. But then when it started breaking out to where you started getting Bret Hart becoming more of a main eventer, and you get Shawn Michaels started getting put in that picture, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, when we get to those guys, these are the guys that continued to wrestle, into our adulthood, and it just
and then the team
amazing that, time in wrestling.
The team that brought me back into wrestling, that catered to my teenage mind. Two men that like to tell a lot of people to suck it. Suck it hard.
Yeah, well, we were huge fans of the D-Generation X. And to be honest, I was a fan of both generations of D-Generation X.
I was
when
as
Shawn,
well.
When Shawn started it with Triple H, with Rick Rude and China, I loved that iteration. But when Triple H took over and it became kind of more of a bigger stable and less of a tag team with a couple managers, I mean, it just blew up and it just forever cemented in our mind as, and my personal opinion, and you know, everybody can have their own opinion. My personal opinion, DX is greater than NWO for me.
I mean, they always held a bit more of a special place in my heart. That's for damn sure. I loved Triple H, loved Shawn Michaels, loved the New Age Outlaws, loved X-Pac, loved China. You know, I loved them all. I even enjoyed it when they did it with Mike Tyson. That was fun times as well. But that's not really what we're talking about today, is it?
No, that's not what we're talking about. We're kind of going a little bit into the future here. I just really had to fill time.
We're just getting excited.
Yeah, I just love talking wrestling, and I'm just, damn it, I don't want to wait. And I'm just so excited that we're two episodes away from the 90s, and it's going to be a great time. But that is not today. Today, we are going to celebrate the second annual SummerSlam in 1989. And I believe we got Hulk Hogan on the card. We got the Ultimate Warrior on the card. So we've got Macho Man Randy Savage. So this is going to be another fun one. And let's see what it brings. Let's go ahead and start watching the show. Okay, so the first thing we get is they introduce the commentators. And the first thing I noticed is no Gorilla Monsoon. We get Tony Schiavone gets replaced with Gorilla Monsoon. And, of course, we still have Jesse the Body Ventura.
You mean Gorilla is replaced by Tony Schiavone? The way you said it made it sound the other way.
Okay, so we got Tony Schiavone and Gorilla Monsoon on the mic. No Gorilla Monsoon. Is that clear enough for you, Blaze?
That's clear.
Okay, so that's the first thing I noticed was no Gorilla. So I don't know if we've lost Gorilla, but I think Gorilla's still a little bit later into this. I think Gorilla still does shows, so maybe he just couldn't come to this show, or maybe that was the end of Gorilla on commentating. I don't remember, but I did find it interesting to see him being replaced. So then the next thing we get is a little video package introducing us to SummerSlam, where we get a little footage of wrestling
and a kid eating ice cream.
Then a little bit of footage of wrestling.
And then surfing.
And then a little bit of wrestling.
Ooh, look at that kid on the swing.
And then a little bit of wrestling.
And now he's going down the slide.
So this is very odd, very 80s. Very montage of wrestling and summer activities.
Yeah.
The first thing I noticed was a girl driving a convertible, and I asked Blaze, I'm like, who's that? I don't know. Then they show some kids, and I'm like, who's that? I think they're just showing summer activities.
Yeah, they are. They were making it clear that this pay-per-view is SummerSlam. So summer is happening outside.
Oh my gosh.
Random people.
So you're saying it's summer right now.
It is summer.
Okay. So moving on to the very first match, we have a tag team match, the Brain Busters, which we learn is now the WWF Tag Team Champions. And they have Bobby the Brain Heenan in their corner. And then we've got the Hart Foundation on the other side, which is Bret the Hitman Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
They came out with a huge pop.
Oh, yeah, huge. But one thing they pointed out at the very beginning of the match is that this match was scheduled before the Brain Busters became tag team champions, which means this is a non-title match. This was not a tag team title match, but it didn't matter because in the end, the Brainbusters win anyhow. So titles wanted to change hands either or anyway. But I would like to point out this match was fantastic. There was several moves in this match that I've been watching wrestling my whole life that I have never seen. There was a counter that Bret the Hitman Hart did on the Brainbusters that was like they had both of his arms locked up with like a submission arm lock. And he literally flipped both of them at the same time. Then there was a move that Jim the Anvil Neidhart grabbed Bret Hart from the top rope and grabbed him like almost like you would grab him for a torture rack somewhat.
Yeah.
And then flipped him over down onto I can't remember who was in the ring.
It was Tully Blanchard.
Tully Blanchard.
Because Arn Anderson gets the pin.
So it was just kind of interesting seeing some innovative moves from these legends that I don't think I've ever seen in wrestling before, and I've watched wrestling my whole life. So this was a absolutely phenomenal tag team match, and it's going to be hard to beat this for best match of the night because this was a great one.
Yeah, this was a very good match. I completely agree with everything Rage is saying here. This was a very fun match. I don't know if you noticed, I don't know if you caught it, but, you know, after Jim the Anvil Neidhart throws Bret Hart on there, and then after Jim the Anvil Neidhart threw Bret Hart onto Tully, I don't know if you noticed, but when they hit Bret the Hitman Hart, Arn Anderson hit him with that double axe handle. I don't know if you noticed, but when they threw Tully out of the ring, when Arn Anderson took the pin, he wasn't the legal man.
And, oh my gosh, scandalous.
And he like, well, what I was, the reason I brought this up, asshole, is that he hid his head down so the ref couldn't tell which one it was. He covered his head a little bit so the ref wouldn't notice and make the pin.
Wow. So they need to review the tape. They really need to get instant replay in wrestling. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So I think that would kind of kill the business. I think this is part of what heels do. Heels doing heel things.
That's why, I mean, as a heel fan, I noticed that. I thought that was a pretty clever way for them to do that.
Okay, well, in my opinion, this SummerSlam has already kicked off at a huge high. Hopefully the momentum keeps going because that match was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so I'm pretty excited. We get our first glimpse at the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And he gets on the mic, and he's as great as I remember. And oh my gosh, he is exciting.
Yeah, he was.
That's all you have to say about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So he does a promo, and it's a really, really good promo. All the energy in the world. Absolutely love the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. I can't talk about him without using a list.
I noticed.
So then he goes out there, and he's facing the Honky Tonk Man with Jimmy Hart. This was a fun match. It wasn't a bad match in no means. It was just a fun match. It was, I mean, the beginning of the match, they start off with a dance competition. And can I point out that the American Dream Dusty Rhodes is an inspiration to fat kids everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, seriously, this guy comes out here in these tight trunks, polka dot, dancing, juking and jiving, doesn't care that his fat rolls are rolling all over the ring. This man is an inspiration to fat boys everywhere.
He was a lot of fun in this match. He was getting a sleeper hold, and he was just wiggling his ass while he was making that sleeper
He's
hold.
He's dancing while getting the sleeper hold. He's supposed to be falling asleep. He's dancing and jiving.
Yeah, he was doing all kinds of little things during the match. He was a lot of fun to watch. He was a lot of fun to watch.
So this match ending in a miscue. You got Jimmy Hart meant to hit the American Dream over the head with a guitar and ends up hitting Honky Tonk Man instead. American Dream, after he drops, gets a elbow drop on him and the 1-2-3.
Is that what you saw, Rage?
I saw it.
I heard the fans begging the Honky Tonk Man to sing them a song, and Jimmy Hart was just trying to hand this guitar to the Honky Tonk Man so he could sing us all a song, and he slipped, he fell, and hit Honky Tonk. It was a travesty, Rage. It was a travesty. He just slipped and accidentally hit Honky Tonk Man with the guitar. I felt so bad because I really wanted to hear that song.
Wow, you really dug deep in that bag of bullshit for that one, didn't you? Okay, so after the match is over, they interview the Honky Tonk Man, and he starts talking about Priscilla Presley, and I gotta find the stage. He thinks he's the real Elvis.
He said that he needed to get a stage. He told you right there what happened. He wanted to sing a song with the fans. Fans were clamoring for it, right?
Okay, well, this match was a fun one. Like I said, nothing spectacular in the move department, but this was a fun match. It was your happy-go-lucky, juking and jiving. It was a fun match.
I loved I loved Dusty Rhodes in this match. His finisher is weak, though.
Yeah, all he has is an elbow drop, but when you weigh 350 pounds, it's pretty damn effective.
I guess. But, I mean, I guess that's just a sign of the times where, you know, Hogan has a leg drop as his finisher, and that's just a move everybody uses.
It's just the world in which we live in 1989. We will get to where finishers matter a little bit more. We will get there. It is coming up. We are almost to the 90s. But right now, this is what we got. We do have great characters, some great wrestling. It's just not quite blossomed to what you remember yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was fun watching the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Okay. Okay, so we get a promo with the Demolition. And they are with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who we have learned has won the King of the Ring tournament. He's also wearing a Demolition mask for some reason. And that's okay.
Sometimes it is. So that brings me to mention, apparently the first reverse King of the Ring wasn't a pay-per-view.
Well, they've been doing King of the Ring before this.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, we had King Harley Race, we had King Haku, now we got King Hacksaw.
I thought they just liked calling themselves King.
No, there was a King of the Ring tournament, it just wasn't a televised pay-per-view event. Maybe it was on regular shows. We might have to go back and do some research, but it hasn't really became a pay-per-view yet. Or if it did, it's not on the WWE network.
I know that we got the King of the Ring as a pay-per-view coming up soon.
And we will cover that action.
We are going to cover the first pay-per-view of the King of the Ring.
Okay, so now we go to the action in the ring, and it is Mr. Perfect standing in there with no music, gets introduced like he's a jobber. And then we get an entrance and music to one of the greatest WWF superstars of all the times. It is the Red Rooster. Caw-caw!
Oh, God. I think I threw up a little bit in my mouth.
So, anyhow, this dude comes in there. They're hyping him up, saying, it's been a great year for the Red Rooster. And saying, maybe he can be the one to knock out Mr. Perfect, who's got a perfect record in the WWF. And it became basically a squash match.
I mean, a good year for the Red Rooster is he gets to exist in WWE, which I don't understand how he managed that. He is a terrible gimmick. Absolutely horrible. I really think he's probably going to have to be on the PWA, WTF, Hall of Fame.
Maybe he'd be a good one because it is a terrible gimmick.
Oh, my gosh.
But the sad thing is the wrestler himself, and we haven't really had a huge body of work, he's not really a bad wrestler. He's just got a fucking thing over the top of his head, like a mohawk. Like, what grown man wears a fucking mohawk? What idiot is this? Coming out, strutting his stuff, fucking moving his neck like a chicken?
That is not a mohawk.
What the fuck do you call it?
He literally has like a red rooster thing on top of his head.
Looks like a mohawk.
Maybe a faux hawk. There's a difference.
A roohawk?
He's horrible.
Okay. So since he's so horrible, we just want to point out Mr. Perfect won this match decisively, pretty quick, and we don't have to talk about him anymore on this show.
Perfect flex.
So all we're going to do is count down to the days that we do not see the Red Rooster in any of our pay-per-views anymore. That would be a day of celebration.
I got to bring something up to you real quick. So I kind of got berated a little bit by one of my fellow co-hosts. We were talking about our show that we do, the thing I talked about, the PWA Hall of Fame. And I forgot to mention the name of the podcast on the other show. So I just want to say the other show is Pro Wrestling Apologists. Pro Wrestling Apologists, suck it, Craig.
Fair enough. So there you plug in your own show. Good for you. And you know what? I was happy to enjoy an episode or two on the PWA. I was on there, and it was probably his highest rated shows of all time. So you're welcome for the ratings boost.
I want to give you shit, but it is our most popular episode so far.
Boom! Suck it, Craig. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so before the next match, we get an interview with Ravishing Rick Rude and Bobby the Brain Heenan talking about his upcoming match with the Ultimate Warrior. So next match that we get is a 6-man tag match. It is the Rockers with Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels and their partner Tito Santana. And on the other side, the Fabulous Rougeau brothers, Jacques Rougeau and Raymond Rougeau, with Rick Martel and Jimmy Hart and Slick in their corner. And this was another fabulous tag team match of this show.
This was a great match. This was a great match. If you love heels, like, this was the heelish match you've ever seen. Like, I have actually nothing but good things to say about the Rougeau brothers and Rick Martel. Like, they kept Tito Santana in the ring for most of this match, and they just would not let him pin. Every chance they could get, every time the ref turned around, they were in there double-teaming, cheating. I mean, if you like heels, this is a good match. This is a fantastic match.
Yeah, and it had a great chaotic finish. It was just kind of everybody getting involved, the wrong man getting pinned. This just had everything. It was an exciting match. And to be honest, we're about halfway through this SummerSlam, and so far, the worst match of the night was just because we didn't want to see the Red Rooster's ugly fucking face.
Yeah, and I also didn't like the fact that they felt the need to even suggest that the Red Rooster is going to end the perfect streak. I mean, come on.
So really, so far, this is shaping up to be
a
great SummerSlam. We have not really had a technically bad match, because even though we think the Red Rooster is a joke, the match really wasn't bad. It was just short.
It was short, but I think we were all happy it was short. But this had another one of those situations, kind of like in the first tag team match, where Marty Jannetty picked Shawn Michaels up and threw him on, I believe it was Rick Martel.
Yeah, and I'd also like to point out that this Rick Martel and Tito Santana being on the opposite ends of the corner is due to the breakup at WrestleMania we just saw. So they're continuing that feud because of Strike Force breaking up. So we get to see a little bit of a continuation of a feud there. So that's kind of fun when stuff like that happens. We get to kind of catch on to that. So
Jesse the Body still refuses to not call Tito by his real name and constantly calls him Chico.
Every show we've seen.
Every show. He just refuses. He
refuses to say the word Tito. Just says Chico.
The fans are all cheering Tito's name, and he still says, "Oh, the fans they're cheering for Chico. They're saying Chico, Chico." I was like, "Well, cringe, cringe, cringe."
So, okay. So it looks like we have a Intercontinental Championship coming up next.
I'm excited. The last one was really good.
Okay, so next thing we get is a huge video package showing the history of this feud, Ravishing Rick Rude versus the Ultimate Warrior. It dates back to the Royal Rumble with the Ultimate Pose Down, and then the Intercontinental Championship match that Bobby the Brain Heenan helped Ravishing Rick Rude win at WrestleMania 5. And then we see a bunch of different appearances on Superstar and stuff where they've kind of came out and attacked each other during matches. And we even see that Andre the Giant got involved in this feud, which is very odd because Andre never showed up in this match.
No, instead, someone completely different showed up.
Which we'll get to that in a minute. But it was just kind of interesting that you kind of pointed out that Andre was kind of involved, but no Andre here at ringside. So that was odd. So then we get the entrances. Ravishing Rick Rude comes out, does his little pose thing, dethrobing. And then you get the Ultimate Warrior running out to his high-energy music.
I think you forgot something major.
Major?
Yes, we got another promo.
Oh, interview. My gosh, we did.
With the Ultimate Warrior.
We did get a promo with the Ultimate Warrior where apparently there are weak planets. I've kind of gotten to the point that not just an alien, but I think Ultimate Warrior was taking more than just steroids at the time.
I believe you talked about UFOs in the last one. Like, I never realized this, but Ultimate Warrior is an alien. I think all the signs he talks about, the gods above and everything like that, I think he's an alien, or at least worships aliens and wants to be beamed up, Scotty.
Very odd situation. So then we get the entrances, and this is a pretty lengthy match, 16 minutes long, and it's a pretty good match. But I learned something in this match.
You learned something today?
I learned something today. did you realize that apparently in the WWF in 1989, if you go outside the ring, only thing that can happen to you is a 10 count out. You can use weapons. You can do whatever you want in front of the referee outside the ring, and it's not a disqualification.
Yeah, Warrior uses the title belt. Intercontinental Championship just whacks Rick Rude right over the back.
Well, apparently it is a free-for-all outside the ring. I did not know this.
I wasn't aware of that one either, to be honest with you.
So that's what we get there. Like I said, this was a pretty decent match. We get a Rowdy Piper appearance, which had nothing to do with the video package. And he comes out simply just to moon Ravishing Rick Rude to distract him enough for the Warrior to get the win.
I guess I'm just hoping we get more Rowdy Piper in this.
Hopefully he will be in this more, but as of right now, that's all we've got is a Ravishing
Rowdy Piper's ass.
It just came out, moon Ravishing Rick Rude, so I'm assuming this is going to start a new feud with these two. Maybe we will get to see that Survivor Series.
I'm thinking that there was some kind of history between them beforehand. We just didn't see it in the package.
Yeah, we got nothing in the package. As a matter of fact, we didn't get the package. We got the ass. Moving on.
Did we even say who won this match?
Oh! And new Intercontinental Champion, the Ultimate Warrior.
Another good match.
Okay, so after that match, we get several promos, and it was kind of like a revolving door with Mean Gene Okerlund talking to all these different wrestlers and managers, and just a constant, and Piper had a really fun promo.
Piper always has a really fun promo. There is nobody better on the mic than Rowdy Piper at this present time.
I completely agree. At least he's not talking about spaceships, planets, and aliens. So he's doing a good job. He's definitely got big competition on the mic right now in 1989. So
yeah.
After that, after all this just revolving door of promos with Mean Gene Okerlund, we get a video package showing what's going on with the Macho Man, Randy Savage, Zeus, and Hulk Hogan, and Brutus the Barber Beefcake. So they've got a feud. We get a little video package of what's been going on, a quite lengthy video package, actually. But that is not the next match. The next match is a six-man tag match with Demolition and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and he takes off that mask, and he's got American flag face paint on his face. So he's matching up with Demolition with the face paint against the Twin Towers, Akeem and Big Boss Man, and Andre the Giant.
Yeah, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, I tell you what, that man cheats all the time. How is he a face? He used the American flag to cheat. Rage.
Well, he used a 2x4 with American flag.
Very disrespectful.
On it. So the point is that he did use the 2x4, but it's okay because he always looks at the crowd with the thumbs up and his tongue out, like, you know, that, yeah, it's okay because I'm being goofy, you know? So that's kind of a shtick. But this was a very well rounded match as well. And once again, we really have not had a horrible match on this card yet.
No, we haven't. This was probably one of the lower ones on the spectrum, but it wasn't bad either.
Yeah, I mean, as for the tag matches, this is probably the least of the tag matches. But regardless, it's still a very decent match, in my opinion.
I don't remember which one it was, but one of them, Axe or Smash, really showed a huge feat of strength by picking up. Was it Smash?
Yeah.
Picking up both Twin Towers back to back for really good power or body slams for such big men.
Yeah, only way it could have been even more impressive
if he would have
got Andre. But I don't think Andre got tagged in at all. I think he was just there. He was kind of there for to be at the side and
yeah,
kind of do a little bit of distracting.
I think he was in for a very short time.
Yeah, he. I don't know if he was ever actually in the ring as a competitor. I think he was always on the outside.
A little bit.
Very short. But so that was that match. And like I said, this is just shaping up to be a very good SummerSlam. And then after that match, we do get a Million Dollar Man promo.
I can tell you what, unless something happens that is so offensively bad, this is definitely the best SummerSlam we've seen so far.
Yeah, definitely. And then so the next match is Greg the Hammer Valentine and the Mighty Hercules. And right at the beginning, we get a special guest ring announcer, which is Rugged Ronnie Garvin. And he announces Hercules just fine. But then when he announces the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, and Greg the Hammer Valentine, he kind of calls Greg the Hammer Valentine fat and
30 pounds overweight.
Yeah, says some things about Jimmy Hart not giving good advice. It was kind of an interesting beginning to the match.
From some guy that I don't know. And then we also had a very good interview with Million Dollar Man.
I just mentioned that.
When?
Before that.
No.
Okay. So let's go ahead and keep going then. So this match ends up being pretty quick, about 3 minutes long. Really wasn't a bad match, but wasn't a great match. There just wasn't enough sample size, not enough going on. Most of the match, you had Greg the Hammer Valentine too worried about Rugged Ronnie Garvin on the outside. So this match ends in a kind of a roll-up slash feet on the ropes for Greg the Hammer Valentine. He gets the pin 1-2-3 on Hercules. But then Rugged Ronnie Garvin's the special guest ring announcer. So he comes out and says, and your winner, Zeus. And so the ref,
Zeus.
Or not Zeus, I apologize.
Hercules.
Hercules. So he says that Hercules is the winner. And then after talking with the referee, then he finally says, okay, your winner by disqualification, Zeus. And you can tell the referee's still like disagreeing, but then all hell breaks loose. They start fighting, and this one's done.
Yeah, I tell you what. I think last pay per view we watched, I thought Rugged Ronnie Garvin was a jobber for the most part. He was pretty entertaining here.
Yeah,
I enjoyed Rugged good. Ronnie Garvin.
This was good. So next thing we get is a very interesting promo from the Macho Man Randy Savage. Sensational Sherry and Zeus is there, but he doesn't say anything except for grunting and moaning. But this was very odd. They're looking into the Cauldron of Madness. Oh, yeah. So very Halloween-like, even though this is SummerSlam. They're looking into a cauldron. So not sure. Macho Man's getting very weird here.
For some of us, Halloween is all year.
Well, lives. Apparently that includes Sensational Sherry and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Which I mentioned earlier that Roddy Piper is probably one of the best on the mic. If not possibly better, Macho Man, Randy Savage. Maybe not in this one.
Maybe not in this one.
But
not
he still that,
not that
great.
He said, not that he said any, not that he talked bad, just he, it was just weird.
Yeah,
just very odd, very Halloweenish. That's what we get. So let's check out the next match. Okay, so this match is the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, with Virgil in his corner versus Jimmy the Superfly Snuka. And I'll tell you what, this was an all right match. Do you think they killed it?
I mean, it was okay. I mean, it was good because, I mean, Million Dollar Man was still selling moves fantastically. There was a weird botch where Million Dollar Man and was bouncing off the ropes and Snuka was jumping over, leapfrogging over him. And it happened a couple times. And then, like, the third time he was going to leapfrog him, Million Dollar Man just runs right into Snuka's ass. looked like a pretty weird botch, but you know, they played it off right. At the beginning, Million Dollar Man was telling everyone that he ended the career of Jake the Snake Roberts. So there's a feud brewing we might start seeing at Survivor Series, perhaps.
Maybe, perhaps. But if he ended the career, there won't be a match.
I mean, how many heels have you heard say they've ended the career of a wrestler for them to come back triumphantly?
Fair enough. So this match ends up ending in count out for Jimmy. So the winner is the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. But then Jimmy, of course, gets some licks in on, mainly Virgil, and does his patented flying off the top ropes to Virgil before this one, you know, comes to an end.
Yeah, there was a fun moment at the end of the match when Virgil and Million Dollar Man are celebrating, and Snuka just, he jumps off the ropes, I'm assuming, because he just
He
comes flying behind them with a double clothesline. It was just, the camera was in this perfect place where you did not see him there until he attacked, and it was really cool.
Yep.
At the end of the match. So. Okay. All right.
Okay, so before the main event, we get a promo with Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And just some of these promos today have just been weird.
Everyone's crazy, man. Everyone's crazy.
Brutus sitting there admiring the blade of his scissors or whatever. And it's like, what's going on here?
He likes sharp objects.
He apparently does like sharp objects. So then everybody comes down. You got Macho Man, Randy Savage, Sensational Sherry, and Zeus. Then you got Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake. But before the match begins, Hulk Hogan whispers into the referee's ear. And, well, it might have been the ring announcer's ear. And they decide to make an announcement that Miss Elizabeth would be coming down the aisle. So she ends up coming. She's in the corner. And this was an okay match. Once again, nothing over the top exciting, but it wasn't a bad match. There wasn't anything bad. Even with Zeus not really being a full-time wrestler,
yeah,
he didn't do bad, but I don't think they asked him to do much to begin with.
No, just like laugh and smile anytime he's hit. And
then do a chokehold, simple stuff.
Very Andre-style movesets.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Very Andre-esque, the type of stuff that he was doing. But so, like I said, this match, there was, I guess, more storyline going on during the match than an actual great match.
Yeah, Miss Elizabeth, pushed Sherry when she was trying to interfere.
Yeah, and you had a lot of that going on with Sensational Sherry trying to get involved.
Miss Elizabeth stopping Sensational Sherry from getting involved. You had a purse that must they claimed had to have been filled with something. Had to be filled with something. So, but you've got all this going on. And then, of course, you get about, I'd say about 3 hours and 10 minutes of Hulk Hogan pandering after the show.
As he does, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like it's getting longer and longer.
There was that cool moment where Macho Man Randy Savage does the flying elbow off the top rope, and Hogan takes it and then just stands up.
Yeah.
Which shocks everyone, shocked Macho Man, and then he started attacking Zeus, and you know, it kept attacking him, and finally Zeus went down to one knee, and
yeah,
it was a story match more than a match, to be honest with you.
And then again, kind of a theme of the night, the face ends up using a weapon to win the match.
Yeah, a bunch of cheaters. You got a bunch of cheaters.
So, all the cheaters. So that does it for this SummerSlam. It was actually, I believe, it was a really good show. I mean, I don't think there was technically a bad match in the show, to be honest. I think they were all very, very good matches. There was a few that were just kind of short, not really bad matches, but they weren't really anything special either.
Yeah, I agree.
So that leads us into
favorite match of the night.
Okay, so my best match of the night, I believe I'm going to have to go back to the first match of the night, and that was the Brainbusters versus the Hart Foundation. I really thought this was set the tone for the whole show. And even though I don't think there was a bad match afterwards, really, essentially no real stinkers in this show. Every match was still good, but nothing, I don't think anything topped what that first match was.
See, I'm going to go with a different match. I'm going to go with the Rockers, with Tito Santana, and the Rougeau Brothers with Rick Martel. I just, as a lover of heels in wrestling, it was just by far, it was a great heel match, a lot of fun. And to be honest with you, this was more about Rick Martel and the Rougeaus than the Rockers, which is kind of surprising because, you know, we love the Rockers. We love Shawn Michaels.
You know, I thought about that match. It was probably in competition of the favorite match of the night. But the problem with me is there really wasn't enough sample size of Shawn Michaels.
Fair enough. I picked it for the heels, though. I picked it for the heels.
Okay.
Worst match of the night.
Okay, so worst match of the night for me, I really hate doing this because, and I almost switched it, but I'm going to stick to my guns here, is Mr. Perfect versus the Red Rooster. And the sad thing is I love Mr. Perfect, so I hate picking him as the worst match of the night. But I just can't get over how bad of a character the Red Rooster is. And this match just wasn't enough of anything. And the other match that I debated about had a little bit of fun tactics before and after, which kind of gave it a little special edge. This match didn't feel like there wasn't any kind of feud going on or nothing. It just there wasn't nothing there for me.
So I'm going to go with, and I agree, and I think on a true level, the Red Rooster match is probably, but it just wasn't much of a match. So it wasn't, the only thing offensive was really the Red Rooster, and that's just him, not the actual match itself. So although I kind of see where you're coming from, I'm going to go with, and it's not the worst, it's not a terrible match, but this was a show with a lot of good matches. So I'm going to go with the Twin Towers match.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Twin Towers and Andre the Giant. It was an all right match. I just, you know, the like I said, the Mr. Perfect match was what it was. It was a squash match. And I don't know if I really like picking squash matches as my worst match of the night, because they are what they are. You know?
I think that's the exact reason why I picked it.
Yeah, well.
Because there wasn't much competition. There wasn't much entertainment value.
But it was quick over, and I almost forgot it existed.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with that Twin Towers match. It wasn't a bad match either, but I think it was probably the weakest on the card.
Well, the good news is this was actually such a good card that wasn't a true bad match. There was two matches that were extremely short, but they weren't really bad. So it's just, to me, I just picked the match that just felt the most emptiest.
Yeah.
No story, no excitement. Just it came in, it came out, and it was done. So, okay.
SummerSlam rankings.
Okay, so we've got two SummerSlams under our belt, which means we can officially rank these bad boys.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a question. If you pick SummerSlam 1, I'm done with this show. I'm over it. More podcasts.
I don't remember SummerSlam 1 being all that bad, but this was just a great card. So this is definitely going to go number one. 89 SummerSlam, definitely one. 88 is two. Very simple rankings here. This was a fantastic card.
It really was. And we can continue the show. You made the right choice. SummerSlam 2 was head and shoulders better. I'm kind of sad because now we've gone through all four of these main pay-per-views and we've got to start ranking all of them. Not one of them, the first show, was the best.
Well,
not one of them is. They're all probably going to be at the bottom. It's like they got these good shows, but they didn't know how to hit a bang with the first one.
Yeah, well, they definitely started their history, and it is what it is. They definitely got better in time, and I guess that's what you kind of want. Definitely in this business, you want it to be bigger and better than the last one, because that's what you're trying to sell your audience. You're trying to make a bigger and better show. So I guess they're doing their job by making it better every year.
Well, fair. And I get that, but, you know, I was kind of hoping for at least one of these just to be like a splash, like, oh, my gosh.
Like a very special show that was so great.
I see why they continued this on for years and years and years, and that didn't happen with any of the first. Royal Rumble wasn't even a pay-per-view. WrestleMania 1 was essentially a house show glorified.
Okay. Okay, well, that does it for our SummerSlam coverage. So let's plug the pluggables.
Well, you can find me on Dragon Blazer Productions on the Facebook, the YouTubes, the Instagrams, and you can find me on Twitter at Dragon Blazer Pro.
Going back to pluralizing.
I'll do what I want.
Okay, so
multiverse is real.
Find me on the Rage and Blaze Show Facebook page, at the Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram, and at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter. And I guess that does it for us. So good night from Rage's Pit.
Night, everybody.